1 Kings 17:7. Today is Mother's Day. It's May 13 of 2018. The day that we honor our mothers. We're going to talk about a mother today that made a choice, a sacrificial choice, based upon a principle in the Word of God, and it was challenged. And if you make a choice for God, it will ultimately be challenged, but you will have to stand anyway. Like that you shared last night, T.D. Jakes, he's going to stand anyway. You've got to stand on what you believe to be the Word of God, and God will come through for you. He will come through. I want to preach today on a mother's last meal. This particular lady was a widow. She was in a famine. She had one meal left for her and her son. They were going to eat it and die. That was the prognosis and diagnosis of their situation. But thank God there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. And I want to preach to you today on a mother's last meal. 17:7, the Bible says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, Elijah prophesied that there'd be a drought. And when he did that, this talks about him prophesying. James talks about him praying for no rain. So he prophesied and he prayed. When he did that, God said, there's a brook that I want you to go to, and you stay there, and I will feed you. And when he was at that brook, the ravens, or in our world would be buzzards, the buzzards brought him food and fed him. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a buzzard up close and personal, but they're not an angelic creature, okay? They're ugly, 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 bad. I mean, bad, ugly. They'll traumatize you. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you know, if a buzzard brought me a ribeye in his beak, you know, I just drank a little water that day. You know what I'm saying? Second day, you might get by with water. About that third day, that buzzard won't be near as ugly as he was the first day. Why? Because your hunger will overtake and overrule your personal choice of who's helping you. There's a message in that. I'm going to get there. Sometimes you have to allow people to help you that you think, well, I didn't even know they even liked me. And then sometimes you reverse that. You may have to help somebody that you don't even like, all right? Because that's called Christianity. Y'all know what about that, Christianity? All right, so verse 8. Now, the prophet prophesied that it was going to stop raining. And it did. And his own prophecy dried up his own water source. I feel the personal effects of my preaching. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now I want you to rise. I got another plan. You see, if God's first plan has a season, and then you'll change and go to another season. So now God's fixing to tell the prophet of Israel to go to a widow's house that was starving to death in a famine, and she was a Gentile. The worst possible place you could go. Okay? So let's read. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. In other words, go get comfortable there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The most unlikely place that you'd want to go. I mean, who in his right mind would want to go eat a widow's last meal? I mean, what is that? Well, that's just the way God does things. This book is called faith, all right? Just do what God says. Just do what He says. Kind of like that thing on Facebook. I've done it my way 10 times, and I'm going to do what my pastor preached about. And hope, you know, do that. So anyway, verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came in the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. You say, well, that's mighty greedy prophet. Well, okay. That's what they say about a lot of preachers today. But you're going to need a preacher.
Amen.
And if you honor him, God will honor you. It's a principle. No, it got nothing to do with me. I know this to be a fact. Before I got saved, before I met Jesus, Okay? You honor the man of God if he's called of God, and God will honor you. That's just the way it works. Okay? You can call him everything you want to call him. You don't know his life. And just for the record, I just need to get it out, okay? The last flood they had in Houston, Texas, Joel Osteen did open up a shelter? Okay. So all that stuff you read was lies. Don't edit this out, mean. Now the reason they have to take a little while at that church is I've been in Houston in the flood more than once. It's in a low area. He couldn't bring people in and let the water rise and couldn't get them out and let them drown. That would have really went over well. Also, his brother is a medical doctor of many levels, a surgeon actually. And so their shelter had kidney dialysis in it. How many shelters you heard with kidney dialysis machines in it? So it takes a minute to get that set up. But it's amazing the folks on Facebook up in Canada and Maine and where else, they know so much about what's going on in Houston, Texas. I've personally been in Houston twice in terrible floods. So if I was you, I would just keep my mouth closed. And if I was you, I would just do what God says because it'll work out better for you. Let me go ahead and get this out of my system, tell you while I'm on it. Somebody posted on Facebook, we need to tax all these churches and preachers. I pay taxes on every dime this church pays me. If you don't know how a nonprofit organization works, you need to shoop. I pay taxes on every penny that I'm paid from this church. Been in the ministry 36 years. I have my own 501c, Scott Bonner Ministries, Incorporated. It's a corporation that's classified as a 501c3. It does not pay me anything, but should it, I will pay taxes on that. Am I correct, Martha? So if you don't know how the kingdom works and the government works that takes care of all this stuff, need to find out. I don't know who I'm talking to. I know it's Mother's Day. I'm sorry. But criticism's not going to get you anywhere, especially when you don't know what you're talking about. It is what it is. And while I'm on Joel Osteen, he hasn't received a salary from his church since 2003. That's his money he's spending, so it ain't none of your business. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say, well, he sells books. Well, go write you a book, Sally. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Let me clarify this, too. Joel Osteen's not Jesus. So I'm not saying that because of him. It doesn't matter. And he doesn't have the largest church in America, by the way. It's in Birmingham, about 3.5 hours from here. It's called the Church of the Highlands. You can go visit anytime you want to. It's amazing the facts you can find out if you just read a little deeper. Right? So let's look a little deeper at this prophet. She's going to need this prophet. She's going to need him. Because her son's going to die. And she's going to need him. Way worse than she needed her last meal. Because if your child dies, you won't even want to eat your last meal. And she said, the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful. I ain't even got enough to make a good meal. I got a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. Two little sticks, cook a little cornmeal, eat it, and die. Price, that was not a good-looking situation. Okay? This situation makes cafeteria food look good. Y'all ever ate in a cafeteria anywhere? I'm talking like a, well, I ain't going to name none, but anyway, that being said, get off of that subject. But now, where I went to school in Oxapater, it was a bunch of ladies that knew how to cook, and it was a small school. Now, our food was good. Okay. Matter of fact, on fried chicken day, if you got your chicken, you better either spit on it or you better hug it like this and try to eat it. Because, I mean, I'm telling you God's truth. They drew blood. If you turned your eyes, I mean, I've seen folks holding their chicken leg and the other folks just stabbing them trying to get it. I mean, I've seen this with my eyes at Knoxville High School. And I know some folks, you can spit on it, Bruce. They'll eat it anyway. They don't care. Because their mama couldn't fry chicken like those ladies. Y'all with me? You got to fight for what's right, baby, all right? So, this woman here had a bad situation. Jessica, are you going to let him breathe after a while, or are you just going
to
hold him like
I'm
that?
Just trying to
keep okay, good. Got him in a sleeper hold. That's why mama's got to do what mama's got to do, baby. All right. So, because Sam likes to talk a little bit, Samuel. All right. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son." Well, she done told him she ain't got enough food for all these people. But he said, do this. So this mother made a choice, Mr. Tate, to do what God said and honor God's principle. And it'll come out in the end, okay? Let's keep on reading the Word of God. Verse number 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste." This is what God said. "Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain up on this earth." That's verse 14. Once she obeyed God, God said, God, prophet, preacher said, God is going to take care of you.
Amen.
Okay? And he did.
Yes.
He did. Now, but that was challenged. Let's just keep reading. "And she went and did according to what Elijah said, and her house, and did eat many days." Started out with a little handful, but she gave it to God, and God can do. Same thing when Jesus fed the people in John chapter 7, had what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And they fed them all, and then they had 12 baskets left over. You with me? You understand? If what you got in your hand is not enough, if I had $2.19, Hunter, left today, and the Lord said, "That's all the money I'm ever going to give you." And I said, "Well, Lord, I'm only 57. I'm planning on living to 157, so this is not going to work out too good. So if this is all the money you're ever going to give me, I'm going to go to Scotty Vowles and buy me a Mountain Dew and drink it. I'm going to make my last $2.19 count, okay?" I'd advise you to do the same thing. Invest it wisely. And I'm trying to get off of Mountain Dews too, by the way. If I'm a little edgy, don't worry about it. It's just because I'm trying to get off that green stuff. I don't know what it is. But some bad stuff in them Mountain Dews. All right. "She went and did according to what God said. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse oil failed according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." If the man of God is a man of God and he tells you something, it will be right. And you will honor God and God will honor you. "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, she fell sick. And his sickness was sore, and there was no breath left in him." All right? "And she said unto Elijah, What have I done with thee?" In other words, she got upset. She said, "Mama," said, "Lord God, I've got associated with this prophet. Now, bless God, my child's dead." I know folks feel that way probably about me. All right? "Oh, thou," y'all don't have to say nothing, just okay, all right. "Oh, thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" I mean, you done killed my boy. Well, Elijah didn't kill her son, but he happened to be handy, all right? So it had to be the preacher's fault. Everybody say amen. I got a neighbor of mine just burnt off 200 acres of cutover. It smoked so bad you couldn't hardly see to get up the road. My brother Chris, y'all don't know him well as I do, but he called me and told me that his chickens was choking to death on the smoke. I don't know if that's a fact or not, because I don't particularly like chickens until they're cooked and ready to eat. The reason I don't like chickens is because my granddaddy had some chickens and had a rooster that spurred me when I was 7. I don't like chickens, okay? And so, Deborah remembers them blamed chickens up there, bless God. I was glad when he killed them, we eat them, all right? So anyway, Anyway, my neighbor had that 200 acres of cutover. That's a lot of smoke. Okay, clear cut. Burning everything. It burnt for 6 weeks. So I go in this place of business here in town. I said, and you know, I've been knowing him all my life, and he knows me and our families go back for generations, I guess. I said, "What are you trying to do? Kill everybody up there at Plattsburgh?" And he died laughing. I said, "Chris said that you done killed his chickens. You're going to have to come up there and give him some money. He's choked his chickens to death." And he said, "Well, it is getting a little smoky up that way." And I said, "A little. That's what I'm hearing. I go round. I don't even go up there and see my daddy. I'm allergic to smoke." Of course, these folks all in the place of business, they think me, I know they think I'm crazy. I'm pretty sure they think he's crazy because he actually talks to me. But anyway, that being said, he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "Well, What you could do, just blame, I'm the preacher here. I live not far from you. Just blame it on me. He said, that'd be a good idea. He said, if you'll go up there and be seen with some matches and strike one match, and they'll blame it. I said, I ain't even got to go up there. I said, I don't even have to go up there. I said, I'm allergic to smoke. I ain't going up there no way. I said, all you got to do is say, me and Brother Scotty got in this deal together, and it was his idea to burn all this like this. It was not mine. That's all you got to do. And then it'll be the preacher's fault. Can I get an amen? One fellow told me, he said, I wished I had all the money you got. Got all this big money and churches and all this stuff. I said, I'll tell you what you do, baby. How much money do you want? He said, well, I want at least as much as you got. I said, no, trust me, you don't, okay? Just trust me on that. You want more than that. I said, so what you need to do is you need to get you a couple of businesses. Can my business owners wave at me just a little bit right here? All right, they feel me, all right? And I said, you need to get you about 2 churches to pastor, too. That'd even make it more better, all right? And then you can have as much money as I got. Can I get an amen? Amen. It ain't exactly what it looks like every day. You better be called into the ministry before you come up with that idea. Now, this woman, she's fed the preacher her last meal. Her son's dead. And now it's the preacher's fault. You know, our emotions, you understand what I'm saying? And he said unto her, verse 19, give me your son, let me have him. And I know she's thinking, well, you done killed him, bless God. Why would I want to give him to you now? And so he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode, took him up there in his room and laid him in his bed. He laid that dead boy in the prophet's bed. And he cried unto the Lord and he said, O Lord my God, thou hast also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. In other words, God, what are you doing? I'm not the most popular fella around here like it is. I done prayed, prophesied. It ain't rained a drop in 3.5 years, so it ain't like everybody likes me. And now the one person that fed me, her son, is dead. See, preachers get tested a little bit, okay? All right? And he stretched himself over the child 3 times. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come back into him again. And verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child come into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber of the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son lives. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. I would strongly advise you today, mothers, make the right choices for your children. It's going to be sacrificial. They're not going to always appreciate it. They're not going to always know to appreciate it. They're not going to always say thank you. They're not going to always call you on Mother's Day morning. But at some point in Jesus' name in their life, they will realize, I had a good mama and she took care of me. And they're going to come back around. Can I get a witness? All right? You just do what's right with you and God and your babies, and God will take care of your babies if he has to raise them from the dead. Because that is in the Word of God. God will take care of your children. You just do what God says do, and God will take care of your children. So you don't know what a mess mine's in. No, I probably do, but God knows more about it than I do. You just keep doing what God said for you to do. You stay where you're supposed to stay. Do what you're supposed to do. Say what you're supposed to say. And stay in the kingdom of God. Get that cycle going. And I promise you, God will honor you one day. It will happen. God does not work on our timetable. Why? Because he's working on our faith. See, he's building, working on our faith at the same time. Now, the challenge that I'm in right now just keeps getting bigger every day. So what I've got to do, Deb, is I've got to raise my faith up. You understand what I'm saying? I've got to get my faith up to meet the challenge of the day. I can either do that or sink. Jude 20 says we need to build up our most holy faith. So if the battle gets tougher, you need to get you a bigger gun. You understand what I'm saying? You need to get you a bigger gun. If your gun won't reach all the way over yonder to get you deer that you're trying to shoot a mile away, you need to go to the store and get you a bigger gun and shoot a mile. I mean, you got to get up with it. I mean, he's got enough sense, gets way over yonder where you can't hit him. So, no, he ain't. Well, let me just tell you a little hunting story, and I got witnesses to prove it. Most folks don't, but I do. We jumped a deer one day, run him all day. Knew he was a buck by the way he was running. I've been running dogs all my life. Me and Matthew. He said, Daddy, there's that deer right over. It was a cutover. It was fresh cutover so you could see. I mean, Mr. Wayne, it was so far, bless God. I mean, you could see horns. The horns is the biggest thing about it. Matthew said, he's too far, Daddy. I said, yep. I said, but I've been toting these shells for about 2 years, so let's just make him run. We shot 32 times. And true story, Matthew would shoot a while and I'd shoot a while. He just stood way off over there. After a while, he took one run out of shells, I guess. He said, well, them idiots don't know how far I am. And so we got to the truck, Scott, and they said, what? My God, how many trucks are we going to have to haul all this stuff? I said, well, you can go get the shells, but baby, there ain't no meat. He gone. So what was you doing? I said, I just like to shoot at stuff. You know what I'm saying? Just shoot. I like to shoot, all right? So, but my gun wasn't big enough. You see what I'm saying? You got to reach on out there. You may come up on some challenges on this planet right now that your gun may not be big enough. You can go to this right here, and you can get you some more ammunition and some bigger guns and get your faith on up, because Jesus said, if you can believe it, I can do it. Amen. That's what he said. Right. Them blind men, the blind folks, they walked up to Jesus and said, we need to be healed. We can't see. And he said, well, do y'all believe I can heal you? They said, yep. Now, when you tell God something, you need to kind of be aware of what's going on here. He said, okay, since you say, because see, a lot of folks say stuff. Well, y'all kind of depressed today. I don't know if that whole Joel Osteen thing depressed y'all. He's supposed to pick people up. I mean, I could have picked another character, okay? All right. A lot of folks say stuff. You say something to God, he's going to check you. Can I get in that? Come on, talk. Y'all going to have to help me a little bit, baby. Y'all got to go eat dinner with Mama, and she's going to be mad. Mama and them going to be mad. That stuff's cold now, I'm telling you. The maddest I ever seen my mom, my daddy is we was dove hunting one time. And she cooked all this fried chicken and cream taters. I'm talking about everything, everything. Don't let me forget to tell about the blind people, Doc. I ain't forgot that. But me and my daddy and all his buddies, we done killed these doves, Hunter. And so they got a big dove fry up, Deb. The men did. Let me, men, focus right here. Before you make all these big man plans about frying doves, or having your wife fry dove, you and all your friends, you might want to call her up. You understand what I'm saying?
Our free fish.
Yeah. So we get to the house, okay, and I can smell fried chicken. I was just about 10 years old, but God knew I was going to be a preacher. I can smell fried chicken a mile away, baby, okay? And so I'm still depressed about this whole Peggy situation we had happen up here, okay? All right, anyway, that being said, I just thought about that. All right, that being said, we get to the house, Mr. Tate, Mama's got it laid out. My mama could cook. She didn't get to be extra large by not eating food, good food. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean that respectful, all right? some skinny folks can cook, but most of them can't. You got to watch that, all right? Now, my wife's skinny. She can cook. And Jan can cook, and she's skinny. I'm just trying to think. I got to talk my way back out of that mess. Everybody, woo! Yeah. Man, I got to move on him. Well, some folks' metabolism don't work right, and that's why they're skinny. They would be fat if all that other stuff. Anyway, woo! Where was I at? Oh, yeah. We got to the house. Amen. And I was young. Yeah. Help me, Lord. See, one bad thing about having that prophetic nature is I don't follow script too well. Scripts make me nervous, but sometimes I scare myself off script, all right? Anyway, help me, Lord. We got to the house. Let's just say we had a problem with what we was going to eat. I'll just leave it at that, all right? Don't mess with a woman and her food. You better sit down and eat it whether you like it or not, all right? Be thankful for it. Just saying. Now, back to them blind boys. Them blind people, Jesus, they said, we want to be healed. Everybody else can see, but we can't see, Price. He said, well, y'all believe I can heal you? Wow, my God, yeah, we believe you can heal us. He said, okay. Then what? Here's what Jesus said. He said, according to your faith, so shall it be. Oh, yeah. Some on. Now, Deb got that. I need the rest of y'all to get. According to your, you talking about faith. I need to see some of it. According to your faith, then you can see. At that moment, they found out if they had any faith or not. At that moment, they found out if they believed or not. You see, you remember the story where they tore the top off of Jesus' house and the four friends took the crippled man to see Jesus? Them four boys had to be rednecks. I mean, they don't understand about standing in line. Rednecks don't understand about standing in line. They don't care about tearing your housetop off. Y'all might well say amen. They'll do, a redneck will do anything. It don't matter as long as it's crazy, okay? And so this poor boy said, I can't get to see Jesus. They said, well, that ain't no problem, baby. We can fix that. He said, the line's a mile long. Well, what line? We don't even see a line, all right? So they went around and climbed on top of Jesus' house, tore Jesus up in there trying to teach. He's trying to have church. And he looks up and stuff's falling down on him. He's like, what in God's name going on, these crazy folks up here? And they had rope. They let that poor crippled man down in there to Jesus. They said, we need you to heal him. This is what Jesus said. You can go read it when you get home. He said he saw their faith. Now, if you can't see your faith, you may not have none. Jesus told the blind boys, okay, you believe if it's according to your faith. So shall it be unto you. And they did believe, and they walked away seeing. So if our faith ain't big enough to handle the famine we're facing, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by the word of God, by the hearing of the word of God. Jude 20 says we need to build up our faith. You get in here and you just keep reading long enough, you'll find something. Whew, there it is right there. Well, say, Brother Scotty, I don't understand. Sometimes I read like a whole chapter and don't feel nothing. Well, just keep reading until you find it. It'll come on like a light bulb when you see your verse for that day and that time and that season. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can read 10 chapters. Be like reading a Superman comic book or something. I never did like comic books, but I know folks do like them, all right? So anyway, that being said, but you'll get to that verse, Mark, it'll come alive to you. That's the Spirit of God quickening the Word of God to you. So read till you get that verse. That's your verse for that seed, and you hold on to it. Son of God, you said right here. Just hold your Bible up. That's what I do, respectfully. Now, this is what you said. God, I didn't write the Bible. It wasn't my idea. Well, none of this my idea, by the way. Now, we don't want to discuss the whole situation. It was your idea. And so here's the word right here. There's never been no day that God has not done what this book says. There never will be no day. So a mother's last meal needs to be a wise choice for her babies. And it'll have an impact. You see, it didn't say anything about the child having a say-so or a choice or a hello or a good morning or a goodbye. And my mama didn't let me vote at the house very often. You understand what I'm saying? She made the voting and counted the votes. You understand what I'm talking about? And so, mama, sometimes you got to do that. See, like Jessica had... little man in a sleeper hole a while ago. That's what she has to do sometimes, make him sit down and be quiet for church. Amen? So, hey, you know, she didn't hurt him. So that's child abuse. No, it's not. No, it's not. Trust me, I'm still alive and well. I promise you. Okay? And so you might better edit that out, Moon Bean. Maybe be marching around the church next week. All right. So anyway, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. See, at my house, on Sunday morning, we didn't vote if we was going to church. Didn't have no voting. Didn't have no discussion. It was, you knew it was Sunday. You didn't talk about it. It made no difference how long you got in. 5 o'clock that morning, make no difference. We'd go to church. But no election process. Why? Because I knew he was going to church. When I was a heathen running around like a crazy idiot, my mom and daddy was with this singing group, and my dad drove the bus for him. I've told y'all this story before. There's this one old country preacher down here between him and Carthage. His name was Arzone Burns. And so my mom and daddy didn't know what to do with me because I was a good boy up until a certain age and completely lost my mind, okay? And went slam, I'm talking about cray, cray, crazy, all right? But every time, and they prayed for me, they made me go to church and all that kind of stuff, but every time I went to that man's church, Deborah, they made me go with him on a singing. I mean, I'm 16, 17 years old. I don't go no gospel singing. They said, no. I said, well, nope, you going with us. I said, well, me and Tim Paul, Tim Paul can go with us to the singing, but you and him ain't going nowhere. I said, well, he probably don't want to go to the singing, so we'll just go. The reason they made me go down there with him, I couldn't be around that man. I didn't get mad at him. The patience, I could not be around that man. It was a little country church. His name was never in lights. He died sitting in a wheelchair in an emergency room when his kidneys quit, waiting in line to see a doctor. But he had something on him from heaven. Jessica, I couldn't be around him. Martha, I'd go to them sayings with him, his church. I dreaded it because I did one about every 3 or 4 months. I said, God, oh God, here we go again. And I just wept. I'd go outside. I remember going outside in the dark, Price, and hugging the front tire of a car and just shaking and weeping. Why? Because he didn't even say nothing to me. He didn't even say, hello, Sonia. He said, goodbye, good morning, nothing. Just couldn't be around him. Did I talk bad about him? No. Knew better than that. He didn't have a problem. I was the one who had the problem. He was happy up in church, shouting amen, praise God. I'm sitting on Miss Judy needs some kind of tranquilizers. You understand what I'm saying? I remember this one time, praise God, I got grown. Somehow or another managed to escape some of them singings. But anyway, I was sitting right there where my wife is sitting on that front row. The church service was over. I thought it was over, Kim, like O-V-E-R. But with people like that, it ain't never over. It's 24-7. They got it, either got it on them or they ain't. It don't matter if they're fishing. It don't matter if they're skiing. It don't make no difference if they're climbing a tree. They got it on them. If they called to be a prophet of God, it's on them. So I'm sitting here minding my own business, thanking God that this is about over and I can go home or somewhere. He comes sit down by me about where Dr. B's at. I said, oh, Lord. And he wasn't pushy, you know, Mr. Tate. He wasn't no pushy up in you, obnoxious up in your face, dragging you to the altar and all that. He said, are you okay, son? I couldn't even say no words. I mean, I thought to myself, you think I look okay, I'm not okay. God done got a hold of me. Why? Because my mama and my daddy knew they was praying for me and they knew God was going to have to do something with me because they didn't know what to do with me, okay? But they put me around the prophet of God. They didn't make me go to everything because let me just tell you this way, every church ain't got a pastor like ours on Burns. Let me say that, well, I better not say that again, come offend some folks. But anyway, that being said, there were certain places they made me go. And baby, I couldn't wait to get out of there, but I never could get away from it. It tracked me down like a coon, like old Crow on a hot coon track. He tracked me down. God's got plans for you. It'd be a lot easier if you just yield to him today. To say, yes, Lord. Everybody say this with me. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It's not that complicated. All he wants you to do is just yield yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I ask you to bless us today. I pray you touch us today. It's Mother's Day. And I'm sure some mama somewhere's got food cooked and I done preached after 12 and they probably going to thank Lord God that preacher Gebotner's done lost it again. So Lord, bless them. Help them. Jesus, don't let them slap their young'uns when they come walking in the door. And so Father, I pray you'd touch our hearts today, Lord. And let our last choice, and this was her last choice. She thought she's going to die. Her last choice was to do what God said. No matter what. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow. They said, we're not going to bow. You can throw us in the fire. You do whatever you want to with us, but we're not going to bow. And so I pray, Father, that we treat every choice like our last choice. Every head bowed, everyone standing to their feet. If you would, stand up, please.